Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have David Lightman.
Yeah,
we do. Star of State Screen and McGlatchy Newspapers in D.C. David, good morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
So this is going to be pretty easy next couple of months for you, I would think. You could probably sit in a rocking chair and, you know. So yesterday, again, to me, another, and Ray agreed, another example of watching this committee in action. And you might as well just put a divider in the room,
right?
And put the Democrats on one side and the Republicans on the other, because all it is everybody's trying to sell their case.
Yeah, you know, we're still in the very early stage of this thing, and I was trying to remember back. I mean, I covered the 98 Clinton impeachment hearings and remember vividly the 74 Nixon hearings. And, you know, that's one of the problems you have now because, and I don't mean to minimize the importance here, it's very much a TV show. In other words, these people know that everybody's watching, that everybody's going to grab their favorite soundbite, including us. And I think that drives the dialogue. You know, back in 73, 74 is a different era, granted, but I don't think there was quite as much playing to the TV. In other words, there was real fact-finding. Remember, the original Watergate committee only had 7 members.
Right.
And here yesterday, what was it?
27, something like that.
Yeah, and that's a fairly small committee by House standards. Their committees have 70 people on them.
Well, David, I think the other thing is, because of the way the news works, is that you can throw something out there. I was thinking Adam Schiff and his opening statement and all that, and, you know, impersonating the Godfather, Tony Soprano. Yeah. But that's what made it, because that's, you know, that's interesting television, interesting print. So, but is that really the substance of what's going on? I don't think it is.
No, and really, to do the substance, you have to dig down a little bit into McGuire's testimony, and not to get too far into the weeds, in that the whistleblower makes a complaint. He goes to the inspector general, who is the independent watchdog, and the intelligence community does have one, unlike a lot of agencies, and if I can plug our McClatchy story today.
Yay!
But the intelligence community has him, independent, respected. That watchdog is supposed to turn it over to the intelligence committees for further review and action.
Okay.
But they turned it over to the Director of National Intelligence, which they should have done. And apparently he was told by the Justice Department, this isn't urgent. So there's where you get into. So that's what prompted Nancy Pelosi to say there's a cover-up going on here. And see, that I think is crucial to what's going on. But try to put that into a soundbite. I guess I just did. But
pretty well, too. I mean,
yeah, well, it only took me a day and a half.
You've been doing this.
But that's the crux of this thing. And that's not going to come through in a 15, 30-second soundbite. Or you're going to have to dig through that 3 hours, 4 hours of testimony to get to that. And that's not easy for the public to do.
No. What was the most important part of the testimony to you?
It was dealing with that. The congresswoman from New York, Elise Stefanik, pressed McGuire on that, and I thought that was a very telling exchange when McGuire kept defending the watchdogs and saying they did their job, they did it right, etc. He was very matter-of-fact about it. That was a very good exchange, I thought.
You know, David, in a way, I mean, I think if you ask most people, they would say, he's already impeached, so now it has to go to the Senate. I mean, in this age, we want things instantly. I think there's a lot of that. There's a ways to go on this thing, is there not?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Now, there's two schools of thought as to what's going to happen. First of all, the House will be in about an hour, and then you'll be happy to know they're gone until October 15th.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
You know, for the, whatever you want to call it, fall recess or whatever. Columbus Day recess.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, talk about urgency. Now, the feeling is that finally the Democrats have found something the public understands. Phone call, foreign government, et cetera. Boom.
Right, right.
So you come back October 15th, you have hearings for 2-3 weeks, you take a vote in the Intelligence Committee, wham, it's on the floor by late November, December, and he's impeached. The other school of thought is that Nancy Pelosi still realizes that she's got 30, 40 vulnerable Democratic House members.
You bet.
And not everybody is running up and down the streets talking about this. And she don't want to lose the house. So you let this thing go slowly. You let it go into next year. You see what happens and take it from there. It is a tough one for the Democrats, for Pelosi.
All right. Was Trump fair in saying, you know, she's no longer the Speaker of the House? In other words, she was kind of forced into doing this.
Oh, she's the Speaker of the House.
Well, I know that. But, I mean,
absolutely.
But no, he's just saying she's lost influence to a degree.
Not at all.
Okay, thank you.
I think, in fact, the feeling is, even among a lot of Republicans, her credibility is heightened because she was very methodical. Remember, she wouldn't pull the string on this impeachment thing.
Right.
And then she had the evidence, and enough people came to her, including three of the Connecticut Democrats.
Right.
I mean, Rosa DeLauro, John Larson, Joe Courtney. They're not people who just sort of fly off the handle.
No, they're not crazy people.
No, they're deliberative. And, you know, when people like that go to you and say, hey, there's something here, you listen. So, no, not at all. I think she's reflecting her caucus. And, again, we'll know more when we see how fast she moves. That'll be telling.
I listened to a little of the president's remarks at 4:30 yesterday. He almost, I don't want to say defeated, but he sounded down.
You know, that's another source of debate. He sounded down, but on the other hand, he loves a fight.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, and this is right in his wheelhouse. I mean, plus, look, you got to watch the Republicans, as you all were saying. They're still pretty much moving in lockstep. I mean, yeah, you can go in the halls and get some dissent here and there. Mitt Romney's not happy.
He's never happy.
By and large, you don't hear a lot of people saying, you know, this is something that's legitimate. And you still need 67 votes in the Senate, so...
To convict.
Yeah, so and Trump knows that. And look, that's why he's got Rudy Giuliani out there on the front line. Bulldog just like him.
Okay, is there anything else going on?
Yes, actually, now this is interesting. Lost in all this is that the Senate yesterday voted to keep the government open until November 21st.
I hadn't heard.
If it hadn't been for all this, we'd be talking about that. And frankly, if they don't figure out something by November 21st on spending, you know what's coming next. So another shutdown.
No,
right now, they are miles apart.
And I would think, because of the way our politics have gone now, that it will be increasingly difficult to get anything through because these two sides are so polarized now.
Well, you know, not only polarized, but angry.
Yeah.
Right.
And
maybe
that,
more important.
Yeah, that colors a lot. I mean, look what Trump said the other day that this is going to freeze legislation. Well, most legislation is frozen anyway.
Yeah.
But you've got important spending bills. I mean, the Pentagon, CIA, labor, health, and none of that stuff has been finalized for the fiscal year, which begins Tuesday, October 1st. So you're going to come down. This thing they passed this week, again, keeps everything going at current levels through Thanksgiving or the week before Thanksgiving. But they got to figure out something here. And this is what led to the shutdown last year, these disagreements. You're going to have the wall come back as a controversy.
Oh, God.
Really?
Yeah, but, well, he wants that wall, and here we go again.
Oh,
yeah. So,
that's great.
And the question is everybody going to be so, again, angry and, trying to get back at the other guy and all this business that we're going to be at a standstill?
Hey, one other thing, and just to the presidential race quickly. Of late, and Hillary Clinton's weighed in on this thing, you know, and there's still people that speculate, well, you know, if Joe Biden falters and, you know, Wall Street hates Elizabeth Warren, you know, maybe Hillary Clinton jumps in. What do you think? No.
No way.
Good. Okay.
For a million reasons. First of all, I don't think she wants to go through it again.
I wouldn't.
Why would she? You know. The other thing is, look, you still have an awful lot of qualified Democratic candidates, and we keep forgetting it's only late September. This thing could change in a heartbeat. I mean, where was Barack Obama in September of 2007?
Mm.
You know, or... For that matter, Donald Trump in
September
15.
Do the Democratic candidates, David, have to be kind of careful with this thing and tread lightly?
Again, that's another good source of debate. I don't know. There's a lot of speculation. On the one hand, arguably one reason Elizabeth Warren has soared to the top is her passion or commitment.
Yeah.
Agree or disagree, the feeling is voters like that. Just like they liked it in Trump. They may not agree with the guy, but they like the passion. They like the fight.
I'd agree.
On the other hand, you know, people are worried about their health care, their jobs,
right.
You know, climate change, and they want to hear about that. You know, this Trump thing, a lot of people see it as just sort of Washington fooling around. So I'd love to be out in the heartland this weekend and hear what people are saying. Hopefully our reporters out there in the Kansas Cities of the world.
Oh, yeah, the Kansas City Star is one of yours, isn't it?
Yeah, I want to hear what if this is really on their minds or what. I don't know.
You know, my guess is I think a lot of people have just tuned it out.
That's been our sense, because we look at readership on this impeachment stuff, and it's good, but it's not off the charts.
Yeah.
No, people still care about local stuff. I think Connecticut, too, as sophisticated as that audience is, you know, people like to talk about it, but, boy, I don't know. I don't know how much it's driving the conversation.
I would think as it gets more intense, though,
yeah.
then the public's impressions of it will increase.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, when you start having, if it gets this far, where the committee actually calls White House officials in to testify under oath or actually starts voting, yeah. I mean, during the Clinton impeachment, the Clinton trial, boy, that attracted an awful lot of readership.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of passion.
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
We yeah, quite a bit.
We couldn't write enough for the Hartford Courant in those days.
Well, all right.
Well, it's going to be busy, and as you said, there'll be people tuning it out, but people who won't be tuning out will be people like us. So
exactly, and hopefully we can enlighten people are. A little bit.
Exactly. David, as always, you've enlightened
Thanks,
us.
Buddy.
Thank you. We appreciate
Pleasure.
It.
Okay, talk to you soon.
David
Thanks.
Lightman.
Maybe we ought to call him David Enlightenman.
You know, I was thinking as he was talking.
Yeah,
see,
you got
us.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
So, okay, he gets to say.
Starting to think like, no, that's a little bit of a scary side if you're scoring at home.
Yeah.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.